Hey guys, I'm Mark Potter. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Today's conversation is brought to you by my friends at Fujifilm. As you may now know, Fujifilm is no longer just a pressroom supply supplier. They have remarkable innovations in wide format printing, inkjet printing, packaging printing. They have taken their long history, their good use of R&D and their experience, and adapted and adopted new technologies to serve you. For example, their J-Press 720S is revolutionizing the graphic communications industry. At 29.5 by 20.8 sheet size and an output of 2,700 sheets per hour, it's the perfect solution for printers looking for a product that has the quality of offset and the versatility for short press runs. So my thanks to Fujifilm for sponsoring Canvas and being with us all these years. Guys, today's conversation is a really, really interesting one, and I'm really excited to have a good friend to the industry. Her name is Joanne Gore. She is the founder of Joanne Gore Communications, and she is the president of Explore Canada. She has a really robust history in the industry, both in print and in software, but specifically with B2B marketing. So she is right in our wheelhouse. Her conversation is something that I think you'll really enjoy because she talks about how we must engage the marketplace, and trust, which is important to all of us, is something that she does not take lightly. She is clearly a spirited supporter of print, and I think you're going to love this conversation. So without further ado, my discussion with Joanne Gore. Enjoy. Joanne?
Mark?
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for asking. Did you enjoy the long weekend?
Of course. Who doesn't? You know, although this might be near and dear to your heart. Are you from Canada? Are you from Toronto?
Yes. So, I'm from Montreal originally, but close enough.
Okay. So, in fact, I'll be up there this coming weekend. So both my kids, as basically, you know, my entire readership knows, both my kids play hockey. And so I have two lives. I have my business and I have hockey. That's it. I have there's no time for me, nothing. So, but anyway, so the long weekend, it's funny. You think it's like the end of the summer, let's enjoy it. And then, you know, everything will start. But actually it was, I spent it in Vermont with my daughter, and she plays hockey, and so we were up there for a handful of days, and it was awesome. It was
wow,
yeah, a lot of fun. So, so it was good on one side of the coin. I love doing that, it dominates my life. So
well, it sounds like you enjoy it. So I guess it's a good. It could be worse. You could need to be spending it, shoe shopping or something, right?
That's exactly right. You know what? That's a good point. Which, you know, we always, you know, we have to count our blessings and not lament
exactly,
you know, what we don't have. So
exactly.
What's going on in your world? Tell me, you know, what's happening up that way?
Oh, well, we're in a bit of a heat wave right now, actually, in Toronto. I think yesterday we hit over 40 degrees, which for you, that would be, 90, something like that, 90, up 90. Yeah, it's been hot and humid. But again, not complaining, because I know that winter is definitely around the corner. So I am embracing every last gasp of sunshine that I can.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's we need to do that because it comes along soon enough. So, So, Joanne, tell me, so I know that you do your own gig, you speak around town. I mean, so for my listeners and readership, tell me, give me a little of the 411 on Joanne.
Okay, well, I was professionally trained, so to speak, as a graphic designer. That's what I studied back in college, and worked in the print industry for several years before I was hired into the corporate side of things, working for a software company managing all their print production. So this was in the, I guess, late 80s.
Yeah.
And so I made the move to Toronto from Montreal, worked in the print industry, then got hired into software and never really turned back. So I've pretty much always been on the corporate side from that point forward, working within corporate marketing departments, starting again with print production and then moving my way through to the point where I run and have run multinational marketing teams. So always had an eye on print and production, brand, color, design, aesthetics, usability, customer interface. So a lot of what's going on in the industry today and what's coming to the forefront is I've practiced it for far too many decades. after doing the roller coaster ride of corporate marketing and having to explain why every 3-4 years the companies I worked for were pretty much getting acquired, which usually resulted in a loss of marketing people, I decided to sort of open up my own doors yet again, this time really with not 100% focus on the print industry, because realistically, when you're a B2B marketer, the sort of rules apply, the basics of knowing, you know, what you do, who you do it for, and why it matters applies to any and all industries. But I have a fondness for the print industry and recognize that we've fallen a little bit behind in our ability to market ourselves. So wherever I can help the industry and provide guidance and provide my services to the industry and share what I've learned over decades of being on the other side of the fence, that's where I want to focus. Software industry, B2B marketing, that's what I do now, and really try and tell the story in a way that matters to today's buyers.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. And I like to do that because I like to, you know, the magic is always in the story, and people have we all have our own individual stories, and time goes by and you look back and go, you know, funny thing is we all spend so much time looking forward, and sometimes we are in the present and what are we doing today and how are we going to make a buck today? And a lot of times we don't give ourselves credit for looking in the past and go, man, you know, we've got a lot accomplished. We've had a lot of experiences. So that's really excellent. What do you think, you know, I'm really interested in, the biggest thing I'm excited about today with you is to find out what your take is on B2B marketing and the engagement process and how it's changed over the course of time. Because as you said, you know, it really is all about who you do it for, right? And
yep,
so
absolutely.
That's changed, in my opinion, in this day and age. In the world, you know, it was always industrial age. Now we're in a different world, and it's not about just pushing products, it's about who we stand for, which has to have had changed the engagement process. And so in B2B marketing, if you will, that's had to have changed. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it's interesting you say that. There are a lot of factors. And again, we both agree at the core, it's the same thing. If you need to know who you are, what you do, who you do it for, and why it matters. Mm-hmm. How the story is told and the ways the story can be told is what has really shifted over the last three decades. thankfully I can't go much before that. And right. or I really would be dating myself. But I'd say the last 10 years alone have taken a lot of people by surprise. And I hate to say it, it's that millennial generation. And the reason I cringe when I say it is because I believe millennials have really, really gotten a bad rap lately. Mm-hmm. I think they're smart. They have a lot to offer. We just need to understand what matters to them. And we have to stop shoving down their throat the way we've been doing things all along. Because the reality is this generation in a year is going to be more than half of the workforce. And they're not the teenagers. They're not the 18-year-olds today that everyone... Those are actually not even millennials, truthfully. Right. But the real millennials, the ones who have grown up bridged between, you know, living completely connected and having a little bit of that analog world, they're the ones making the decisions now. They're the B2B buyers. And they're perfectly straddled on both sides of the fence to know how to buy the way they want to buy, how to communicate with people who may not necessarily be as tech savvy as they are, but that means they also know how to take advantage. Right. So it's really important that we understand how they are searching for information and how to talk to them. And the reason I say, you know, they straddle the analog world is I think that they're one of the reasons that printed direct mail has made the comeback that it's starting to make, and we're really starting to see that impact in how it is complementing the overall buyer journey, mm-hmm. Which of course includes a lot of digital content. Content marketing has become huge when it comes to B2B marketing. You know, there's a few things that B2B marketers know really, really well, and that's how to make the most out of a lead, and that's, you know, through CRM, through wherever the data intelligence is, they know how to do it. They know where those conversion points are happening because of the data that's being mined on a regular basis, and that's what really has also shifted, in my mm-hmm. opinion, and you've probably seen it too. The access to data and the ability to measure campaigns, I can't even compare it to what it was 30 years. It's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So when you factor in the ability to manage success and the ability to learn from failure, because, again, you have to fail to get better. You can't just get better by always winning. At least that's what I've found in my many years in business.
Right.
So when you put all these factors together, this digital, always on information at your fingertips, expected by this generation that's entering the workforce, aligned with some of the older tactics that we know work, such as print, and how to properly incorporate them into that overall customer journey, and then how to manage and nurture that relationship from the time they raise their hand and shown some sort of interest, learning from them, engaging with the community, knowing where they hang out, or, you know, if they're on social media, be on social media. But if they're not, know where they are and talk to them. This is how B2B marketing works today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not just an ad and a direct mail and, you know, come to our website. That doesn't fly anymore.
Well, listen, I think the biggest change, I mean, everything you said there is like a modern day playbook, in my opinion.
Thank you.
No, I mean, it really is, because I think you, first and foremost, you've got to understand who these buyers are and how they've changed. And you're right, exactly. I you know, the millennials, regardless, I mean, I'm with you on that. We've gotten into it, and I've played, my part in that too. We've gotten into this world where we've branded them and That doesn't make any sense. You know, part of that is
I have four millennials at home and a Gen Zer, so I have the full gamut at my disposal. I live it and breathe it every day.
So yeah,
and I hear the way they're spoken about too.
Sure, and you know, part of that is just that we've all taken on new attributes. I mean, when you brand something, a lot of times it's out of insecurity. Change happens and you know, the lack of understanding and the parochialism for ourselves, you know, what we want, you know, we start to project onto them. And so it has been different. It is changed. But it corresponds this technical change, the shift from industrial age to this, whatever you call it, connection age. And so I'm with you in that. And I think first and foremost, yes, you've got to understand your buyers. I think what's really compelling to me and what pops into my head when I hear you speak about print and its comeback, I think there's so much noise in the world. I think there's so much stuff that comes at us that it becomes, we get calloused to it. You know, we get numb to it. And you know, you see some of these things that crop up and then they're yesterday's news. And print, in a lot of ways, is new to this generation. And I don't think it's ever going to overwhelm people. Like, there's not going to be a ton of noise in print. There's not going to be this overwhelming nature that says, I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of moving from Facebook or Twitter to Snapchat. You know, you've got a lot of this stuff happening. Print can kind of play its role and has a little bit more longevity. Do you feel that at all?
Oh, absolutely. There's a trust in print that especially millennials do not have in digital. I did a survey in advance of a presentation that I gave for the Explore Association, which is the really more of a transactional document, statements, bills, invoices. And you know, again, they're facing a huge shift as well in how people want to get their information, have access to all of their personal information, right, including their bills and their statements. And what's interesting is that printed statement means something. Receiving a printed document for something as important as a bill or statement matters. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they don't want to be able to pay online and get, you know, they're looking for that perfect hybrid solution with the trusted document properly stored, along with the digital interaction happening anywhere, however they want. Or, you know, what's my balance? Where are my points? And how can I pay? Like, mm-hmm. that's really what matters, right? Then, you know, all the marketing that layers on top of that with, you know, messaging and mobile texting and geotagging, that's our business, right? But this is really all they're interested in from that transaction perspective. And we are able to deliver it. We just have to get out of our own way and really work together. Work with, you know, the marketers, the commercial printers, the transaction printers have an opportunity to really, really work together and hone in all these various crafts from decades and generations of doing this and provide that user experience that is truly going to be demanded. And let's face it, the print industry, it's a craft, and we need to encourage universities to include print as part of the curriculum. There's, you know, without being too preachy, you know, we have to do better at selling ourselves and the value that we provide. Packaging is huge. That whole unboxing experience, I was blown away when I, sorry if there's a cat meowing in the background. I can't apologize for that.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah, and then the dogs, and you'll hear the dog chasing the cat. It's just inevitable in my household.
That's right. I hear you.
But so going back to packaging, that unboxing experience, and people pay to watch people open boxes. I don't understand it. It's beyond my grasp of comprehension, but it's just a reality. And printers can take advantage of it. They can create experiences. There's so many ways that they can use, you know, digital inks and technologies and finishes and personalization and customization, and it's wearables and textiles. It's just endless.
Right.
But it's all print. And that stigma of what print used to be is what we need to do as an industry and change it to what it is now. And print really can be a bold and exciting addition to any market, particularly a B2B marketing campaign when you are building a relationship. Because the reality is it's probably going to be a long sales cycle. It's probably going to cost a lot of money, and you're going to invest a lot of time and energy, not only in the beginning stages of capturing and growing and nurturing the leads until they're sales ready and you can hand them over the fence. And then sales needs to do their thing and then continue that process and go through the, you know, the RFQs and the proposals and the handholding and the schmoozing. And you're looking at a long lead cycle. So
yeah.
Wherever we can add value and help push the decision a little bit, we should be doing it.
You know, and so when you think about that, and because I agree, I mean, I'm in the same way. I feel that print has, I don't want to say a rebirth, but it's certainly been rejuvenated. I think it may certainly be smaller overall. We all know that. I don't think I'm sharing any crazy news there. But at the same time, it may be more impactful than ever before. So. And I think that the ones that are thriving and succeeding right now all would agree with that. But they've also gotten into new things. I'm curious, as you've looked at this whole B2B engagement, to find out how has that changed? Like you said, oh, the way we're measuring things, you know, compared to years ago. Heck, I don't think they even measured anything. It used to be just, you know, here's what we do, and you patted the salesperson on the back and said, good luck, go make some cold calls. And you know, so speak to that a little bit in terms of, because I don't think people want to see people anymore. And that's a really hard gig. And so how do these companies start to engage when, you know, that sales model or recipe clearly has to change? And you know, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, first of all, you're right. Before a buyer gets in touch or even attempts to connect with a company, chances are they've already got all of their research done.
Mm.
The question is, have they gotten the right research? And that's where the companies have an opportunity to direct the journey, or at least be a destination on the roadmap.
Right.
Because the landscape is massive. When you talk about measuring, you know, marketing automation platforms, which you know as a marketer, and I know a lot of people don't really understand them unless they're in the space, but it helps us maximize all of the data and the programmings and tweak that online digital journey from beginning to end, know where the customers are coming in, where they're leaving, where they're spending time, what content they're reading. And that's the key, is making sure that the content that you are providing, the information, the guidance, the education that you are providing the people who are looking for solutions to a problem. They don't know, and they don't care how many sheets of paper you print in a minute, or how many colors your press is, or that you can deliver on time and no budget is too big or too small, or no project is too big or too small. it's just expected. But they don't know what they don't know. So they're doing a search and looking for information. And so the more you can understand about who you're selling to, and again, it goes back to why it matters. What problem are they trying to solve? If they're buying banners from a web to print portal, for example, the question then becomes, well, why are they buying these banners? Are they having an event? How can we help them with this event? What more can we provide for them? Is this event out of town? Could we connect them with another local provider who can maybe do other things for them while they're there? Maybe we know somebody who can maybe we'll go and we'll do restaurant reservations for, I don't know, I'm just thinking events. But there are ways that you can help and become that trusted source of information. And they'll keep coming back to you. I mean, there are companies that are really smart. I constantly see promotions, and there's no, these people are not my clients, so I'm not promoting. I'm just, they're people in the industry. But I'm seeing things coming out of like Allegra and Minuteman, and they're having Canada Post is a great one. I've been following them recently. And they're having conversations about what matters to this new generation of buyers.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one conversation to somebody to jump in on, and then suddenly now they're engaged with you. So marketing, that's where, you know, social media typically plays a role. But again, which social media? LinkedIn from a B2B perspective is great when you want to connect with those business buyers. The groups there's a lot of talk today as to whether LinkedIn groups are as valuable a resource today as they used to be. I will hazard a guess that for the most part, they're not.
Right.
Only in the sense that I've tried to join certain groups, and it's taken sometimes over a month for the admin to respond.
Right.
Which leads me to believe it's probably not a very active group.
Right.
However, hashtags are becoming much more prevalent. Now, where that's going to go, I'm not sure. I'm very happy that I can add a few very select hashtags. I'm not saying go Instagram crazy. Instagram, you want to put in 20 hashtags, go to town. But for LinkedIn, the audience still wants a business message. So I would really maybe put one or two hashtags in your actual message, and then put them in at the end of the link if you want to engage members following a certain topic. But that doesn't mean LinkedIn is the be-all and end-all. It is from a business perspective, I would argue. But again, think about where your buyers are getting their research. Are they looking on places like Instagram for pictures of what this thing looks like? Are they looking on Facebook for groups? Because Facebook groups are quite active. So is that where they're going to be spending their time? So there's this whole push-pull also between Facebook and LinkedIn as to who do you go to for a business audience. And I got to tell you, Facebook's catching up. There's a lot more business going on than probably in the last 12 months than I've seen in a long time on Facebook from a B2B perspective.
Sure.
Content sharing, they're constantly changing their algorithms. People are investing more in Facebook advertising from a B2B perspective. Sorry, I just got distracted by the dog chasing, screaming at the cat.
Well, that's the way
the world is.
You know what? No, that's good. That's a good, because that's a... That's how we all are now these days. We get a lot of stuff going on, distracted. Let me ask you this.
We get distracted, right?
We do. We get distracted. And you know, we can get immersed in all the social and the technical. And you know, that's actually a decent segue, because you can get distracted into a lot of different things. And my concern is that no matter what you're doing in those vehicles, is that we've got this mode right now that people say, okay, well, I get that. And then we just need to put content out. We need to put stuff out. And in many cases, there's no discipline being used to put content out. The content sometimes, or most of the time, is very, very product-centric or all about me kind of stuff. And I feel that even though maybe there's not as not much face-to-face, as you say, they're going all through this self-discovery stuff, they can still smell the sales job from a mile away. Can they not?
Absolutely. And that's why the story needs to be retold. Because if we're constantly going in for the sale, then yes, they're going to smell it a mile away and they're going to push back and they're not going to provide you the information that you need to move forward. So you have to have conversations and you have to be creative. Trade shows and events are great opportunities to have conversations, have open houses, talk to your customers. You can talk to the people within your organizations who have the conversations, your customer support people, people who are in finance. I mean, the conversations are happening. It's just what you're doing with the information from these conversations is what you need to look at.
Right.
Right? What kinds of questions are you asking? And is everybody on the same page? I would argue that if, you know, and I plan on doing this at an upcoming trade show, but, you know, you go up to if a booth is staffed with 10 people, let's say you're in a decent sized booth, and you ask each one of them what their company does, you're not going to get the same answer from each.
Yeah, right. No, you're right.
And if you go to a, right? So, and that's at a trade show when they're supposed to all be, you know, selling the same stuff. Imagine if you ask somebody your customer, whoever's on your phone, answering your phones, right? Your customer support people, your frontline people, the first calls that come in, which often are the most junior people as well, right? That's where they train everybody. Mm-hmm. They're your most junior people, and they're the ones fielding your customers and answering their questions. Do they know the story?
Right. Right. Yeah, and I think the other thing is, the biggest thing is most everybody, just it's the same thing that's occurred over the course of time, is we all come out after training or we all join a company or whatever. We can spout the product all day long. And someone has told us, you know, this is what this product does and this is the need it fits. But we lose that engagement along the way. You know, it's almost like any relationship, whether it's business or personal, or marriage or whatever. You know, we go through the courting process, but we forget, you know, 20 years later to still be asking questions, to think about, you know, what's making them tick and that type of thing. And you're so right. I mean, my biggest preaching, the thing I preach about the most with printers across the country is that, you know, and it's not just printers, this is any B2B world, is that we've used this engagement mechanism to go out and talk to the world or promote our products. And that's typically the salesperson. They all are not asking the same questions and they're not all chronicling the information. You know, it was this old adage that the salesperson, gosh, you know, it's their client. And that, gosh, if the salesperson leaves, we're in big trouble. And so, you know, you want to flip the script and say, look, we want an organization that is built where we're taking that information and there's a central repository, there's a marketing backbone that we're putting it into so that we can, as a collective organization, be better for our clients together. And you know, nobody really does that. Nobody's chronicling that information, and it's hard. And, you know, you've got and then the other side of it is you've got the pressure, right? You've got the pressure of the moment. We need to keep the machine running today. We need the ROI today.
We need to deliver leads. We need to deliver leads.
And printers in typical fashion are all motivated by, hey, you know, right now, this year, maybe next year. I mean, a lot of it is, what's the ambition of the owner? What's the desire of the owner? Do they what do they aspire to do? Is this something like they're just trying to get to the finish line? Are they going to turn it over to somebody? Are they building an organization to be sold? Which isn't actually a bad thing, right? Because it means they want to grow and to do things. So a lot of it is built on that. Like, how do we find that someone's just crying like crazy? Someone needs some milk.
It's the cat.
Talk about customer need. You need to listen to the cat. The cat is saying, telling you something.
He's telling me, where's the dog? I want to play with him.
That's right. Yeah. Or the dog is driving me nuts. But, you know, don't you think that's like a big deal for these guys?
Yeah. You touched on a lot of points. So I made some scribbles because otherwise I'd completely forget everything that I wanted to address. So one, you mentioned the courting process.
Right.
That's huge. There are I meet so many companies where, somebody downloads a white paper or downloads an ebook, and right away they've got somebody from biz dev calling them up.
Right.
It's like, you know what? You know, I looked at your picture. It doesn't mean I'm ready to get engaged to you. You know, I don't even know if I want to have a cup of coffee with you. And right away you want to, set a wedding date.
Right.
You got to think about, how many times have you engaged with this person? And again, it goes back to everything I was saying before, from a marketing automation platform to understanding what's in the CRM, to understanding all the conversion points, to knowing for this particular product or service, it's going to take 8 touch points, starting with, a download of a piece of collateral. Then they might sign up for the newsletter. Oh, maybe they're going to read a couple of blogs. Oh, wait, there's an online calculator. They played with the calculator. How much time did they spend? Let's see. Maybe now's an opportunity to follow up and ask them how their experience was.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other ways that there's sort of the soft engagement where they're reading content and digesting it. There's the caged content that they have to give you their information in order to get it. Mm-hmm. Things like white papers and calculators. So they're showing you a little bit of trust by giving you their information, but they're not ready for you to betray that trust, right? They want to engage with you a little bit more.
Right.
Then now maybe they'll fill out a survey, or maybe they'll actually interact with something you're providing. You're asking what type of content. That's where you have things like ROI calculators, webinars, surveys, free trials, set up a demo. That's where you can potentially engage them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can determine at that point, if they push back, it's like, okay, you know what? They're not ready yet. Let's just keep courting for a little bit longer. Until we think maybe they're ready again to go out on a date.
Right.
Once that date happens is when you can decide, okay, now it's time to up it a little, up our game. Let's get the big guns in and let's start working together. Marketing and sales would be working together at this point to take them to that next step.
Right. Yeah.
That's where you can, the full needs analysis, full customer engagement strategy taken to that next level.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a much more complex world to navigate.
Yep.
But what you're talking about, and I think the core of who you are is about trust, and that's never changed. No matter, maybe the process was simpler because it was like, here's the lead, go make a sales call or go cold call or knock on doors or whatever. And the complexity of our world, it's ironic, right? In that the complexity of our world has been changed because, all the messes have been cleared up with the push of a button. We have so much software and so much technology that everything is simpler to the user. Yet to engage on the personal level, it's gotten more complex because of all that, because they can keep you at an arm's length, because they, you know, it's harder to gain what you're talking about, and that's trust. And so it's a really, really fine line. And I think that it's really compelling that you've talked about this concept of trust, and you know, you can use all this data, and you could have somebody at the, you know, at the top of the heap saying, well, they clicked on that, so go sell them. And and boy, you know, it might be even more artistic. You know, they think about data and you think the science of data, and people love to bank on that, but the reality is there's still an artistry to not scaring them off, and not, as you say, betray that trust. So it's really compelling. It's such a delicate balance.
It is. And here's where it gets even trickier, because printers not only, and I'm talking specifically about printers and the print industry, not only do they need to know how to do it for themselves, but they also need to know how to do it for their customers, because the expectation now is for printers to become marketing service providers and offer, and again, not everybody expects that, of course, but more and more, again, when you factor in these new buyers who may or may not understand the opportunities that print can bring to them. So now they're coming in, and you're using yourself almost study of how, and it's a really interesting shift, because, as I said before, you learn from your mistakes. So I would, you know, really encourage anybody to just try something. Right. Because if you fail, you'll learn what didn't work, not only for yourself, but you can then use that as a proof point when you're helping your customers.
Well, I think that's, I mean, it's all really great stuff, because I do think that's the key. And you've said, you know, earlier, you know, I've been scribbling notes like crazy here too, and more for selfish reasons, because you know, you do have to fail to succeed. And so you do need to try some stuff. And you know, in this day and age, it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. I mean, there's things that you can do, you know, like the creation of content and putting it in the vibe out, if you will, that if you don't like it after a while, you can cut, you know, you can cut bait on it. And but at least you're going out there and trying some new stuff. And I feel like that's a big deal for, because this group, this industry sometimes gets a little intimidated by it all, which is interesting, because they will buy the latest technology to print the word all day long. There's a safety in that technology, but it's this change in the engagement side that makes them nervous. So it really, really is compelling. Well, listen, I think this has been amazing. Before I let you go and tend to your little customer that is meowing there, I want to
I'm so sorry.
I think it's great. It's actually pretty funny. But let the listeners know where they can find you, and maybe, you know, your final piece of advice for them.
Sure. On Twitter, I am at Joanne Gore 121. That's the number 121. The website is joannegorecommunications.com, and I can be emailed at joanne@joannegorecommunications.com. My final word of advice is honestly, work with your marketing department. Marketing and sales are not mortal enemies. The best way to succeed is to have them working together. And if you're saying, oh, well, sales can just do marketing, I would advise you to take a look at what your goals and projections are for yourself for the next 5 years, and really take a hard look at your website and think to yourself, if somebody drops on my website today, will they know within the first 5 seconds what I do, who I do it for, mm-hmm. and why it matters? Yeah. And if they don't, be courageous enough to put your hand up and say, okay, we need help if we want to move forward, and be ready for 2020.
Yeah. That's awesome. Joanne, it's really good stuff. I have pages of notes here, so I'll keep them
for
myself.
We can do this anytime.
Yeah, we're going to do it again. And I will be, I'll be in Toronto multiple times this year. So maybe we'll steal away for coffee or a cocktail. We'll talk about B2B marketing and your cat and dog, and how they're getting along.
I love it. I love it. And I love the magazine. I should tell you, my son goes to OCAD, which is sort of the most prestigious design university in Canada. And whenever the Canvas magazine comes, I sort of take it, I look through it, and I give it to him. And it's the only one that he actually reads give him to read. I just think it's brilliant. The way you guys talk to the designers, to the printers, the marketers. I think you guys do an awesome job.
Well, I can't thank you so much. And yeah, we'll be reaching out, because I think that you're a resource and an asset to the industry that we need to tap into again and again. So thanks so much for your time. And I'll ping you when I'm up there.
Absolutely. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Thanks, Joanne.
Have a good one. Bye.
You too. Take care. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Joanne Gore. She is a delight. I am particularly fascinated with her spirit for the printed word. I love her take on the ability to build trust, the requirement to build trust. Some of the things that stuck out to me in that conversation, and hopefully you took some copious notes yourself, is that she talked about, hey, we have to fail to succeed. She says that there is a trust in print, which I believe. I think we all believe in the haptic nature of print, and I think that she clearly sees some real major roles for print today and even in the future. So I hope you enjoyed that. I think the message is clear, that there's a new way to engage. I think we've preached that. We've talked about that ad nauseum in the magazine or in this podcast, and we just have to embrace it. And finally, her last piece of advice is just try something. Just go out and do it. So if it's the creation of content or checking out some marketing automation software, or even doing something in the social world if you haven't yet, just try something. So I just can't thank her enough for taking the time to spend with us today. Also, my thanks to my friends at Fujifilm for being a long-term sponsor of Canvas Magazine. They really are innovators. They have done a wonderful job reinventing and changing as the market changes. They still are a remarkable supplier to the press room. But there are now so much more when it comes to things like the J-Press 720S or wide format or packaging printing. So thanks so much to them. And my thanks to you for listening. Obviously, we want to continue to bring great content to you. So having you listen or read Canvas Magazine is a big deal. So enjoy, and thanks so much. As always, be the buffalo. Take care.